Make it five.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Stock markets around the world are seeing their rally extend into a fifth week today. There's still some good feeling around last week's Group of 20 meeting in London and the apparent unity there on how to deal with the financial crisis. What we'll be watching for this week is earnings. Aluminum company Alcoa kicks off first quarter earnings season tomorrow. The big focus will be on key sectors like banking and retail. Disappointing results could kill the momentum we're seeing. The Nikkei closed more than a percent higher today. Hong Kong's Hang Seng ended the day with a 3% gain. The Dow is at 8,018 after a 40-point gain Friday. For the week, the Dow is up 3%. Right now in Europe, shares are higher across the board. The owner of Britain's power transmission network is angling for some U.S. stimulus money. The company is called National Grid. It's the second largest electricity supplier in the U.S. As Stephen Beard reports from London, the firm's seeking financial help with green energy projects.
National Grid has launched a pilot scheme for a so-called smart grid in Massachusetts. This aims to save energy by keeping consumers better informed. They may be able to monitor exactly how much power the appliances in their homes are using. National Grid is also talking about a similar scheme for Syracuse, New York. But the pilots cost money, in fact around $100 million. The company wants the stimulus fund to foot the bill. There does appear to be plenty of cash available for such projects, $11 billion in all. President Obama is planning to spend that much on a modern green electricity grid for America. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Delphi's problems will be on the table today in Washington. Officials from the struggling auto parts maker will meet today with former parent General Motors, the government's auto task force, and creditors. Delphi has been operating under Chapter 11 since 2005. Today's talks will focus on figuring out GM's role in Delphi's restructuring, as well as the future of the supplier's hourly and salaried pensions. Airlines had fewer people on board last year, but did a better job for those that did fly. The 19th annual airline quality rating is out this morning. Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll has more.
Bottom line, fewer passengers means fewer problems. Not as many people flew last year, so not as many bags were lost and more flights arrived on time. Hawaiian Airlines was the most on time. American, which flies to a lot more places, was the least. Your bags were most likely to arrive with you if you flew AirTran. They were most likely to be lost if you flew American Eagle. Wichita State University professor Dean Headley co-authored the report. He says air travel's improved a lot since 2007, one of the worst years ever.
Quite frankly, I think the airlines finally got the idea that if we're going to charge you $25 to check your bag, we darn well better have it show up.
University of Portland finance professor Richard Gritta says consumers have also lowered their expectations.
We've been cattle cars in the sky for the last number of years, and any slight improvement may seem beneficial.
Gritta expects airlines to keep charging fees for just about everything. In other words, a little more economy and a little less class. I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
Union employees for AT&T's landline business are showing up for work today beyond the deadline for a new contract agreement. But the Communications Workers of America is saying on its website that can change at any time. The union says employment security and health care are still holding up negotiations. Contracts expired at 11:59 p.m. Saturday. AT&T has said a strike won't disrupt phone service.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers.
It's never fun to catch a double dipper at a cocktail party. It can be pretty gross. That stomach-turning feeling is also being described by some lawmakers when it comes to a different kind of double dipper. People who retire from a government job and get another job. Sally Herships filed this report.
Double dipping is reaching epidemic proportions in Florida. State Senator Mike Fasano thinks so anyway. He's trying to close a loophole in Florida's retirement law. Right now, some government workers can retire, start collecting their pension, and after 30 days go right back to work. They get paid and they get a pension. They double dip.
They shouldn't be allowed to come back and double dip while we have such high unemployment rates.
The worst thing, Fasano says, is that Florida municipalities are hiring double dippers and cutting jobs at the same time.
We're going to have to lay some people off at the state government, at the county government, and at the city government. How do you look that person in the eye and say, we're doing away with your job, but we're going to keep the double dipper on?
State and city governments all over the country are hiring double dippers. It sounds controversial, but Max Steyer of the Partnership for Public Service says retirees are often the best candidates for the job.
They have already been trained. They can hit the ground running. They know what the problems are. You know how good they are. You can pick the very best.
Steyer says double dippers can be the cheapest option for municipalities. 2 years ago, for example, he says the State Department brought back retired employees to get through a massive backlog of passport applications.
Now, an alternative would have been for all those people to go work for a contractor and for the government to hire the contractor, and no one would have said boo, but the American people would have been out a lot more money.
Double dipping has attracted legislators' attention in New Jersey, New York, and Alabama. Bob Bain is a lecturer at Harvard School of Government. He says if someone double dips in the private sector, nobody bats an eye. But when public money is at stake, double dippers inspire moral outrage. Bain says that's unfair.
I don't think that people are behaving badly. They are actually behaving in a way that makes sense according to the rules.
Those rules vary widely. Some states have already made it more difficult to collect a pension and a paycheck at the same time. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
If you want to weigh in on this, you can do so by looking for the story at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.